Someone's Thunder. Welcome to Someone's Thunder.
Hello there, Stephanie.
Angela, hello, hello. We're doing it.
We're doing it. This is us. You know, we should talk about, first of all, what Someone's Thunder is all about. But I just think that it's sort of fun to, I guess the history of it, or the birth of it.
The birth of it, yes.
The birth of our podcast. Well, it was way back, I think, at the beginning. It was it February, March? And oh my goodness.
Well, COVID and getting shut down started March 13th. People were talking about it before then, and there were little rumblings, but March 13th was the day in New York that things really came to a halt.
Yeah, and I remember some people still sort of working still on set and stuff and going, you know, hearing them talk about, oh, we had to wear gloves and stuff. And then all of a sudden we had to wear masks. And then all of a sudden we're no longer on a soundstage shooting our TV or film shot. So yeah, everything just kind of shut down. And you and I were texting back and forth, I remember, and it was really fun. And then all of a sudden you had this brilliant idea of like, do you just want to talk on the phone?
I love a good conversation.
I know. And I missed hearing your voice. I don't think I had talked to you in quite some time, you know, like just hearing your voice. It was so, to me, it was super grounding and very soothing and very comforting. I don't know what you felt. What was going on for you?
What was going on for me was, this is a really sucky time. And Angela brings so much sunshine into the room whenever we get together.
Oh, I love you.
She's so talented with all of her different abilities. And I just felt like I was scared. I was worried. I was trying to think of what would we do to continue to be creative people. And I thought, you know, we need to talk about this and see what we could come up with. Because I felt as though, although on the one hand, it felt like a very personal individual experience, I also knew that those of us who create as part of our livelihood, we're all going through it, and it was being taken away from us in ways we would never expect it to be. And I thought, let's just brainstorm, because we come from different parts of creativity, but I thought together we could really make something happen. And that's really how this all came about.
Yeah, it was, we wanted to make something. And you know, I know you're super crafty, and I can be very crafty too. And I like to, you know, research and do all that fun stuff. And then all of a sudden, like you said, there were the certain ways that the creativity was being stifled because things were shutting down and we were having to stay indoors and just being safe and protecting ourselves and our loved ones and everyone around us. And getting the opportunity to start to sort of like creative think tank with you about, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And then all of our background, I mean, you being born and raised in New York City and growing up in and around the city, which is so exciting, and knowing all of the sort of like cool and iconic places through history, as far as like just from your family and where you've been. And then me being raised in New York City since I'm a little kid, my parents coming here from Ohio, to the big bad city of New York City, the Big Bad Apple, and then growing up in and around the city, because I really consider this my home, not necessarily where I was born. So this is really my hometown. So I consider myself somewhat of a native New Yorker, absolutely. And then we just started thinking about all these places and the stores and the music and the people and the buildings and the shops and the food and the, oh my gosh, everything, the entertainment. Did I say music?
And I think it was also places we've encountered over our childhood, our early adulthood, and continuing on, some that are still here and some that aren't here anymore. Some we've seen in movies, some we haven't, but just the idea of revisiting the world around us and bringing some things back in our minds and creating it and discovering new things too.
Yeah, I remember my parents when they first moved to New York City. And I remember there was a time where I remember my mom specifically saying, like, don't go past 14th Street. Now you have to go past 14th Street to get to all the really cool, amazing restaurants and shops and music venues and some really great sort of off Broadway theaters and comedy shops, just like really cool places. So, and of course the famous 8th Street where we talked about, was it Love Saves the Day or Jack and Vaudeville?
We were talking about in our conversation about Desperately Seeking Susan.
That's right.
And sort of the two iconic East Village places were Gem Spa, which was right on 8th Street, and St. Mark's. And I think it just closed recently.
It did. It just closed. And that was sort of like I felt like that the sign felt like such a scene stealer to 8th Street to me, because it was such an iconic sign.
And that's where people I went to college with used to buy all their clove cigarettes, and high school too. That was like the clove cigarette location.
Cigarettes.
And then if you went two blocks south of there on, I guess it was 6th Street and 3rd Avenue, was Love Saves the Day, which was just the coolest sort of vintage shop. And it was like, there was Trash and Vaudeville, which was a little west of there, but then Love Saves the Day was really quirky and wonderful in its way. And that's where, in Desperately Seeking Susan, Madonna got that great jacket with the pyramid on the back. It was sort of reminiscent of the Pyramid Club, which was even more east of there. And just kind of go back to what you were saying about your parents not letting you go like past 14th Street. I remember being told that 5th Avenue was the dividing line for the West Village and the East Village. And when I was growing up, you did not go to the East Village. So it wasn't until later in my high school years that I ventured forth into the East Village.
That's so funny, because I feel like my parents were the same, as far as like, you couldn't go past 14th Street and you didn't go past, don't go past Avenue A, because the Alphabet City, some of that neighborhood was just
off limits.
Really sketchy. And then, of course, then this really amazing German, or it was a German restaurant that opened called Edie and the Wolf on like Avenue C or something. You walk in, it was on Avenue C. I don't know if they're still there, but it was on Avenue C, and you walked in and you felt like you were in like a German sort of Tudor house or something.
I love that.
I don't know if a German and Tudor are the same, but the walls had vines, and it was all like Wiener Schnitzel and just stuff you would never find on Avenue C back in the day. And then they said East Village too. East Village you couldn't go to, because there were people of a certain character.
I love it. So you know what we need to do for today to start off our show on the right foot? I know you have a great quote from the Dalai Lama. And that would be wonderful for us to share.
Yeah. And I think we talked about the fact that we should probably start like every podcast with a really cool sort of meditational saying from the Dalai Lama.
Because I love that idea.
Yeah. And you've actually traveled to where His Holiness.
I did. My family and I went to Dharamsala, India in the 80s. Because my parents,
so cool.
sponsored a Tibetan child at the Tibetan Children's Village. And unfortunately, the Dalai Lama was traveling when we were there, but we got to meet some of the monks who worked with him and his museum, and it was life-changing.
Okay, I've known you for so long. I knew that you went to Dharamsala, but I had no idea that that's why you guys went. That is the coolest thing ever. I love you even more. My heart is even bigger for you. Let's hear what, even though you didn't get a chance to see him when you were there, you got to meet all those really cool monks. Let's hear what His Holiness has to say today.
Okay.
Here we go. Regardless of the nature of the world, we will not suffer affliction or cause suffering when we trust in the mind's fundamental nature of luminosity. It's clear light.
I love that. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way to start things off.
Yeah. Clear light. And I feel like when we're operating from that place, when we're communicating from that place of clear, open lightness, like leading, I always say, you know, try and lead with your heart with everything you do. You will do no wrong if you lead with your heart. I feel the similarness with a kind of lightness, that third eye center sort of open lightness.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I had a really interesting thing that reminds me of this.
Yeah, tell me.
That happened. I, as you know, I'm an actor.
You are a wonderful one at that.
Oh God, I love you. And you are an amazing, talented casting director. And so anyway, as you know, I'm in the Actors Equity Union, which is the theater union, and then mm-hmm. Screen Actors Guild / AFTRA, which is the AFTRA, which is American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and SAG is Screen Actors Guild. So they mm-hmm. merge those two. And then the other union, which is the Actors Equity Association, which is mainly the theater's union, but also handles stage managers as well. So mm-hmm. it's that whole union. Anyway, and we're in this time of, you know, theater, all theaters have been shut down until at least June 2021, maybe.
It's hopefully. Gonna be a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
It keeps changing and it keeps getting longer.
And so that doesn't remind me of being light and moving in a light way. But what I thought was I would do my part and try, and I was fortunate enough to be able to pay my dues, which was like $87, right? $87 pays my dues. It keeps some of the very small staff now that they have going to continue to answer phone calls. There nobody's in the office. The office is shut down. So all of the phone calls are rerouted to people's personal homes.
So I didn't realize that.
Yeah, everybody's working from their own homes. So they've rerouted all the calls. So there's a couple of people in membership. There's a couple of people in communications. There's a couple of people sort of scattered all in and about trying to take care of the many thousands of theater and stage management professionals, actors and stage managers. And so I paid my dues, and then I got this lovely generated email back from our president, Mary McCall, saying, thank you so much for paying your dues at this time, even more. We really appreciate you paying your dues, and this is what it goes to, even though we've had to downsize our team greatly. We really just, these funds keep us doing what we need to do, which is to protect you as theater artists. And I just cut and pasted that little tiny two paragraphs, and I posted it on Instagram, because I remember reading somebody on Instagram was like, why are we paying dues, theater dues? And I totally get that question, because you're thinking, well, I'm not performing theater, and theater's not going to be happening for quite some time, and we don't know when it's going to be happening. But I was like, this is a good reason for me, because that letter really appealed to me, that there mm-hmm. is this other staff that they're trying to keep going to try and help us when we do get back up on our feet, because I believe that we will get back up on our feet and we'll be stronger and better and lighter than ever.
And it's also the power of a thank you. Yes. And there's so much behind the power of a thank you and acknowledgement. And I think that's what you were also responding to.
Yes.
It made a difference.
I did, especially during this, you know, big time where a lot of places are hurting. And I feel like I'm getting it's giving Thursday, it's giving Friday, it's giving Tuesday.
Yeah.
Getting a thank you to say, thanks for paying your dues. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I posted that on Instagram. A girlfriend of mine happened to see my post, and she DM'd me and said, how much are your dues? And I went, $87. And I didn't know why she was asking. And then all of a sudden I get an email saying $87 is now in your bank account. And I went, what? So I texted her back and I said, thank you so much for doing this. Is this, so I'm gonna, you're giving this to another member who can't pay their dues. And she said, well, actually I was giving it to you. And I said, well, I'm fortunate enough right now to be able to pay my dues, but you know what? You and I are gonna pay this $87 forward to somebody who really needs the help right now. So I called up Actors Equity and I was like, hey guys, I have this $87. I want to pay somebody's dues. And they were like, that's amazing. But we can't tell you of the many thousands of members who needs this help. You know, they can't go through like personal records and stuff, and they can't show any favoritism. And I totally get it. And they can't take a donation because they're a union. So it gets into all these weird tax things. So then I thought, I was like, let me call my very good stage manager friend, who someday we'll have on as a guest, because he's amazing.
Yes.
his name is Jacob Plummer. And I said, Jacob, I know that you've also paid your dues because I saw your Instagram post with your proud equity card up by your face. Can you reach out and see if there's somebody who I can contact to get this money somewhere where it needs to be allocated? He said, hold on, I'll get right back to you. Sure enough, it's an anonymous member. I don't know the member. I just have the member's number. So I got the member's number. I don't know who the person is. And I called Equity. I said, hey, I have a number. Here's this person's membership number. And I would like to pay their dues, $87. They said, great, thank you so much. That person will be receiving a generated email saying, thank you for paying your dues. Would you like me to say who paid the dues for them? I said, nah, that's not necessary. Not a big deal. But I did write a thank you note back to my girlfriend. And I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know the dues went to a good place. And she,
so lovely.
She was just filled with lightness and I was filled with lightness and we were just, our hearts were bursting by paying it forward.
Well, it's such a simple gesture. And I think that right now we're really watching so many people in our lives and not in our lives suffer, just bringing a can of food even to one of the open refrigerators in neighborhoods or donating, or just, I think, helping in any way we can. Is so, so important. I think that gesture that a friend inspired you to do is, I just think, what a great example of what we need to all be doing. So thank you for sharing that.
It's, yes.
It's really special.
You had inspired me to talk, because I don't know a lot about, there's a couple of different pantries and stuff that are out and about. So I didn't know about a lot of them. Like the Actors Equity had said, you know, you can go to the Actors Fund and they have, you know, funds and stuff set up, but I really wanted this to go specifically towards stews. But you had mentioned that there's a couple of food pantries that you knew about or had
all over the city right now and in the boroughs right now. And there's something that I hadn't known about called Open Refrigerator, where there are actually refrigerators in neighborhoods where you could bring food to put in the fridge. It's open 24 hours a day.
What a cool
thing. And people can just go there as needed to get nutrition. And I do think, I didn't know about these earlier, but I'm going to make it a point to try to donate as often as I can, even little, you know, whatever I can. And I'm glad you mentioned the Actors Fund too, because they're just such a great, great institution that really supports people in need in the entertainment business in all different ways. So I can't give them enough of a shout out for their generosity and the kindness they show.
Yeah.
But Angela, would you talk, you have such a great story about how we ended up with the name for our podcast. Do you want to share that story?
Oh my gosh, I almost totally forgot we were going to talk about that. That's right.
You must. It's our first show. We have to say how
we have to talk about it.
With this name.
So we kept riffing off of these different ideas. We were talking about all the different things, actors, stories that sort of like steal the scene. And at first we were talking about stealing the scene. We're like, well, no, that doesn't seem quite right. What if, so I started going on my little rabbit hole research that I like to call, and I found this really funny story. Back in the 1700s, this dude named John Dennis, he was an English critic and also fancied himself, he thought, a playwright. He wrote a play.
They do.
Yes. Yes. So he fancied himself a playwright as well. And he wrote this play that, sadly, poor John Dennis, it wasn't very successful, but there was the first ever, and this was his own creation, the first ever sound effect of thunder. And I mean, this was big. 1700s. A thunder crack sound, the sound of thunder at live theater. How shocking is that? It had never been done before. So he was ahead of his time. Well, he did not know this, I'm sure, but Shakespeare was in the audience. And later, after Mr. John Dennis's production closed down, he went to see a production that Shakespeare had done of otherwise known as Macbeth. And if we were in a theater, and if you're superstitious, you'd have to turn three times, spit over your left shoulder, and hope that a sandbag doesn't fall on you.
If you dared say the name, that name in a theater. Yeah.
If you said that name in a theater, boy, oh boy, do we love our traditions in the theater. Anyway, Shakespeare was in the audience of Mr. John Dennis's play. He didn't necessarily care for the play, I'm sure, or maybe not, I don't know per se, but sure enough, in Shakespeare's production of Macbeth was the thunderclap sound in the thunder, the big storm scene. Where I believe Macbeth goes and encounters all the witches. And sure enough, John Dennis is in the audience because, you know, he's the theater critic. John Dennis is in the audience. And the thunder sound effect comes up and goes, oh, they have stolen my thunder. Someone has stolen my thunder. That's damn someone them. From Shakespeare. Damn them that they've stolen my thunder. And so therefore I think of every, you go and see one thing and then you end up being entranced mm-hmm. by this other thing that's happening off to the side. I think about actors all the time where I'm going to see this main actor, but this one other actor is doing something over here that I cannot take my mind or my eyes off of.
It's like the secret ingredient or that special thing that just makes it that much more unique and something to remember and savor and explore further.
Well, but how do you like that story? 1700.
I love
and here
that
we are story. Today, 2020.
Well, he was like the first Foley artist too. I think it's great because, you know, special effects and audio and who knows, maybe that'll pop up on one of our shows sometime. You just never know.
Be great. We can put it up on one of our sound effect on our website, Someone's Thunder website. Because the Someone's Thunder website, I have to say, is a lot of fun to go search through and listen to all the fun shows.
It's true. It's true. And great music there too.
Oh, amazing music by our very own Yah Jeffrey Zell. Woo! Big shout out.
Yay. Well, Angela, I think we've had a great first show.
Thank you. I think so too. You were amazing.
You're amazing.
I love you.
I love you. And here's to many more.